This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too. Hi, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. And you?
Yes, very well. How's Dolly?
Well, Dolly's, I'm away at the moment. I'm speaking to you from a hotel in Antwerp. So, Dolly, I only left yesterday, but she's quite sad that I was going. She always gets sad when she sees a suitcase in the hall.
Oh, yeah, she knows.
Yeah, she knows that I'm going, and it's, you know, it's, there's a bit of attitude, really, sometimes, going, oh, I thought you said you were going to stay around a bit, you know. but she has a lovely time. As soon as I'm out the door, she's happy because, I mean, you know, then it's Jane looks after her so nicely.
Yes. I have a thing when, you know, I've been away now a couple of times since we've been doing this podcast, actually. I've been away from home for a couple of long stretches.
Mm.
And I, for those long stretches, I choose to not say goodbye.
Yeah, all right. So that she doesn't get the idea something's up.
Yeah.
Good idea, really. And does that work?
I like to think all you can do here is I like to think that it works.
Yeah, of course.
But I suppose you're getting lots of photos from Jane then.
I do get some updates, and she's obviously perfectly happy, I'm sure. It's different if I'm at home and Jane is away. Then Dolly is definitely not quite herself. She just doesn't, you know, she just thinks something's gone wrong.
Yes.
With the natural order of things.
Yes. That's the same, exact same.
So, Mildred, okay, is she?
Mildred's been to the groomers.
Oh, right, okay.
A different groomers this time.
Why was that? Did she decided she'd try someone else?
We've sold out and we've gone mainstream to the one in Westfield.
In the big shopping centre?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why have you done that? Is it just more convenient?
It's a really good question that I'm going to get an answer for. Grace, how comes this time we took Mildred to the groomers in Westfield? Okay. Yeah, it was just easier.
Okay. Were you not able to answer that on your own?
No.
I mean, just couldn't you figure out that was the reason?
Well, she had been going to one by Grace's parents in Ruislip.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I wasn't around, so she went to the one in Westfield. But she looks lovely. She's got a fluffy, you know, the way they feel when they've been groomed, fluffy new coat. But nice. When Grace went to pick her up, they had to call Grace. This is very cute and a bit sad. Mm. They had to they had to call Grace to come and collect Mildred early because she was hiding under the table and she wouldn't come out.
Oh,
Oh, she's a bit intimidated by the whole thing. Was she in a pen with a load of other dogs and didn't like it?
Hang on, sorry, Jack. What did you say? Oh. Okay, right. So sorry about that. She didn't get a call. She didn't have to go in early.
Oh.
It's just that when she did go in,
yes,
Mildred was hiding under the table.
Right.
And Grace did need to help her come out.
All right. It just would have been quicker if Grace had told us the story. That's what I'm thinking by now.
I know. Grace, if you correct me on every detail, we're going to be here forever.
I have to admit, we don't leave Dolly. Well, we don't really get her groomed as such, but we just take her in, and there's a lovely girl called Lucy who does her paws for her nails and just clips them. But we hold on to her for that because she doesn't like it very much. Because she's so much smaller. Well, you've got all these other dogs behind a glass door going mad and, kind of trying to climb up and get out and stuff. And it's all a bit mad. So she doesn't like the environment there very much. So we wouldn't leave her there. But that's just, that's one of the things with a small dog.
Yes. One of the things, Mildred's trying to scratch and get in at the moment. One thing I wanted to bring up with you to see if Dolly did this. Does Dolly, when you carry her to the park and then you eventually put her down, she has a little walk. Does Dolly try and drink puddle water?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, she would no more do that than I would. And no, she really wouldn't. I mean, okay, at the end of a very bad night, I have been known to, but it's but Dolly certainly not. No. Why does Mildred do that?
Yes, Mildred loves puddle water.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it happen a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to assume now, and I'm sure our listeners will get in touch to let us know. I'm going to assume that is not advised. Because I kind of pull her away and stop her from doing it, but she bloody loves the stuff. She can't get enough of it.
I presume it's not advised because, no doubt if someone was being, uber sensible and cautious, they'd say, oh, because rats will be going in the puddle as well, and then birds will, poo in it, and then you've got avian flu and all sorts of terrible things. But most dogs do it all the time and get away with it, I think. Where it gets weird, does Mildred ever try to drink out of the lavatory?
No.
Because that is a thing. I mean, some dogs do that.
No, Mildred, I'm very lucky, actually. Mildred's not done that. What about, I assume Dolly's not into that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, she'd fall down it.
Then it drinks bottled water.
This is it. In fact, I do know of a certain radio producer who has got this filter system in his house.
No.
He's very particular because he likes to make his coffee with filtered water. It's all very...
Oh, my God.
It's all very North London, And it is. And he had his dog looked after by a friend. God. And the friend had to ring up after 2 days and said they're very worried because the dog's not drinking any water. And he was worried about it. Then he twigged, he realized the dog only has filtered water at home. So he had to ring up and say, would you mind going round to our house, get the filter jug out of our fridge, and I think you'll find that he'll drink the filtered water. And so she had to go round to his house, get the thing. And sure enough, the dog had some of the water from that, but it was like it just turned its nose up saying, this is not proper filtered water.
That's fantastic.
I know.
Did the dog wear like chinos?
Yeah, it was just like, yeah, because he was wearing espadrilles and he's a very, very kind of cool dog was not impressed at all.
Had a fold-up bicycle.
Yeah, absolutely. All of those things. Wanted hummus for lunch. And it's what dogs get used to. But I suppose that particular dog could tell the difference in taste. I suppose.
Yeah, well, oh, no, absolutely.
Whereas,
absolutely.
I don't think we can. I mean, I'm drinking from a bottle of Evian at the moment. I wouldn't know that from tap water. It's just that I'm in a hotel, so that's why I'm drinking it.
No, God, no idea. I should say, by the way, little update, and this is one of the pros of doing this podcast with you, is do you remember a time when I told you that there would be times, perhaps, not every time and not often, but there would be the rare occasion that perhaps the bowl wasn't changed in between the meals?
I remember you saying that you're a bit of a slack Alice like that, aren't you?
Yes. Well, we've changed our ways.
Oh, have
you'll
you?
Be pleased
oh,
to
that's
know.
Good. That's yes. good. Yeah. So it's all kind of hygiene and clean bowls now, is it?
No, now we just never wash it at all.
Oh, what?
No, I'm joking.
fell for it.
No, yes. So now it's every bowl is scrubbed after every meal, clean water with every new meal as well. Yeah, so yeah. Our listeners will be happy because I know some listeners.
Yeah, no, it's with Dolly, because she eats very little as well. She'll only have a little peck at it and then walk away and leave a bowl full. And one reason that we get rid of it straight away is that if Nelly comes over, as you know, Nelly, our...
I love Nelly.
I know, our lovely, our Frenchie, who belongs to my daughter and her boyfriend. But if Nelly comes over, Nelly will be at the front door. You open the front door and she'll absolutely tear past everyone without a hello or anything.
Yes.
Straight to the bowl, because she knows that Dolly will have left all her lunch. So she goes straight for it.
Nelly did it again. That thing that Nelly loves to do where she gets bored of what's on television.
Yeah, yeah, and then just walks away.
But she's done it with you on Have I Got News For You?
Yes.
And then the coronation.
Yeah. And now she's done it with the Eurovision. Her breaking point was the German entry. She just, she could let this look on her face, and then she kind of looked around the room thinking, I don't understand why we're watching this. What's happened? And then she just walked out the room. Which is, in fairness, probably what a lot of humans were thinking as well.
Just please make sure, for my own mental health, that you do not put on my old DVD. Please do not do that.
I might try her on it. I might try her on it, see how it goes. That might be...
I don't want to see that on Instagram. Yeah. Actually, could you do that? Could you play lots of different comedians?
That would be an interesting experiment, actually, wouldn't it? We could just do that, see who she likes most, see who gets the record. Yeah. I mean, I've not done well. I mean, I lasted literally as long enough to say my name, and then she walked out the room. And she had this look on her face, and I like this program. And, oh, no, it's him. And then just... gone. But yeah, they're all up on the Instagram, aren't they, on all those little clips.
And you've joined Instagram now.
I have. I'm not very slick at interacting with it, but anyway, I'm on it, so I can put things up there.
At This Is Jack D?
I don't know what I'm called. This is Jack D. Our producer has just put sent us a little
at This Is Jack D.
This Is Jack D. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. So I'm going to put some more of those up. And I think Nelly might narrate them as well. I think we might have to do that at some point. That'd be good fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
See what she thinks of Sean Walsh. Just see what happens.
I don't want to know. I don't want to be there. Before we speak to Simon, our dog expert today, we've got some voice notes.
Yes.
Now, if you remember when we had Amanda from Alsager, South Cheshire on, she gave us her dog voice for Pixie, her cockaboo.
Yes.
Cockaboo, do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Remember, she said it was all about, you love mummy more than daddy, don't you?
Yes,
yeah,
precisely.
That voice. Yeah.
Well, here's a little reminder. Let's play that in now.
Oh, hello. Oh, I love you, mummy. Lots more than daddy, don't you? Yes. Oh, yes.
Right. Very good. Very nice. Very cute. Now, if you remember, what she did there is she said to her lovely Pixie that Pixie loved mummy more than daddy. So we asked for Pixie's daddy to give us his dog voice. And he has been in touch.
Oh, he's been in touch. Oh, let's hear it.
Yes, this is it. This is Martin with his reply.
Oh, baby. She loves her daddy not half, don't you? Does mummy not give you any treats?
Oh, yes. Hello.
There's a lot of manipulation going on between those two, isn't it? It's just... I don't know who's going to get custody at the end of that.
It definitely sounded like Pixie got a few more treats in the second voice note.
It did, yes.
But that's fantastic. Yeah. If couples do want to get in touch with their competing dog voices, we would love to hear that. We would love to be the beginning of the end of your marriages.
I'm sure it won't come to that, but it's lovely of them to send it in. It's good stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, we're joined by Simon Parry-Marino, our dog expert from Dognitive Therapy. Thank you, all of you, for sending in your questions. It's we feel very honoured that you've entrusted us with the well-being of your canine dog, don't we, Sean?
Yes, very much so. And so many responses, so many voice notes, Instagram messages and emails. We'll try and get through as many as we can. Yeah. Hello, Simon. How are you?
Hello. I'm very good. How are you guys?
Very well.
Yes.
I'm feeling self-conscious as I realise I said canine dog then rather than canine friend.
You also mispronounced my surname, but that's fine. We'll skip it.
Oh, let's get that right.
Moreno.
Is it Moreno?
Moreno. Yeah. Spanish. Moreno, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
All right.
Simon Parry Moreno. All right, okay.
Yeah,
okay. I told you it'd get difficult, Sean.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's gone to his head.
Oh, the ego. Simon, it is fantastic to have you here. And we've got a ton of questions.
Yeah.
Because people have suddenly realized that not only is this podcast about listening to two people being stupid and not knowing much about dogs, but there's this third person who can come on the show who does know lots about dogs. So we just want to run through some questions that people have sent through. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've basically realized, Simon, that we need help. And you're the guy.
Thank you very much.
That's going to guide us through it.
Do you want to kick off, Sean?
The first one? Sure. Okay, so we've got a question here from Bex from Newmarket. And the subject, I'll warn you in advance for this, is humping legs.
Right, okay.
Okay. Bex says, I have an almost three-year-old golden doodle called Tink. And when we sing happy birthday, either over the phone to someone or in the home, why does Tink go crazy and start bonking any available human limb? I can be singing anything else, and she pays no attention, but as soon as happy birthday is sung, it's like an aphrodisiac to her. It's mental. We sing Lily the Pink, change pink to Tink, to her, and she loves that and wags her tail, but no attempt to hump. What is it, Simon, I put to you about happy birthday? Any advice would be great.
Okay, so it's good that it's a female dog as well. People think that female dogs don't hump. They absolutely do.
Tell me about it.
in dogs...
Sorry. Sorry.
In dogs, it's not necessarily a sexual thing. It's just a state of over-arousal in terms of excitement. So that's why female dogs do it as well as male dogs. With the happy birthday, for some reason, Tink has obviously just made a really positive association with that song. She's obviously seen that you guys get super happy and super overexcited whenever you're singing it.
Oh.
And so she's joining in, really.
That makes sense, because it's the happy birthday in particular is a celebration as opposed to... opposed to other songs.
Yeah.
You'll be celebrating that.
Dogs are super in tune, with sort of excitement levels and things like that. So if you get excited, they're going to get excited. No problem.
And she's clever enough to associate that song with, okay, all the humans are about to get excited.
Yeah.
There's going to be cake and it's going to be fun. So I'm going to start humping things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the logic, isn't it?
100%, yeah.
Any advice on that? I mean, to me, it's slightly not a problem if it is only that song, isn't it?
It's only going to be an annual occurrence. It's not really going to be a day-to-day sort of thing. Maybe reduce the excitement levels a little bit in the people singing the song and participating, but it's...
Not good advice, Simon. How can you do that? Okay, we've got a cake, but when we sing happy birthday, can we just keep it down, guys?
Change the lyrics to ambivalent birthday.
Yeah. Have an okay birthday.
Have a day.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Ray-Ban, and Canon. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals during Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th. The cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for Adidas and Fenty. you can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
What's good news is that it's... Well, I didn't know. It's not strictly sexual. It just means very good mood. Yeah. Okay.
It's a way for them to sort of vent that excitement. That's basically just what they're doing.
I have to say, I had a Dachshund, one of our... I think it was... Yeah, he was our first dog. He was a terrible one for humping soft toys around the house. It was very awkward. You know, you couldn't leave any teddy bears around with this dog. He was called Barney, actually. And because you come back in the room and the soft toy had a different expression on its face. Like, it was... Don't leave me with him again.
I've got a doll. And when I went back into the room, it was having a cigarette.
But it can be inanimate objects as well, can it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the case of the Dachshund, it's probably just because size-wise as well. Like, you don't really see sausage dogs jumping up on people's legs because they can't physically get up there.
Yeah. Okay, yes, yes, okay. So, picked on. Oh, brilliant, okay. Well, I hope that Bex is okay with that. I mean, it's a good one to start off on in a way because it's not a terribly serious problem, but it is. Yeah. It's opened a conversation on... why dogs behave like that when they do behave like that.
Yeah.
So that's great, Simon. Thank you.
I mean, the best sort of advice for, obviously, if it's a birthday and you're going to preempt that you're going to be singing happy birthday, maybe just tire the dog out with a walk or some play or something like that to sort of calm it down first and then do the birthday party.
Okay. Do it, yeah.
Good job.
And don't ask Stevie Wonder round ever. Another one. This is from an Instagram one, which is Olivia Dawkins. She asks, any advice on a rescue dog who likes to bite random men? More of a serious one there, really.
Okay. With rescues, it's hard to tell what the past history is if you don't know where the dogs come from originally. If it's got a sort of disliking for men in particular, unfortunately, it does tend to sort of signal that they might have been physically harmed or abused by men in the past. But the best course of action for that one is a gradual case of sort of desensitization. So, you know, go to a park where there might be a group of lads playing football, for example, and things like that. Stand at a very safe distance. Wait for the dog to have sort of like a calm and neutral response. Reward that with either treats or affection or a little bit of play. And then over a gradual period of days, weeks, get closer and closer and closer to the sort of groups of men. And hopefully, eventually, by the time that you're right next to them, they should be okay.
Oh, okay. If I had a dog that was not reliable enough, that you couldn't trust, you know, and was liable to have a go at people passing by, I mean, should you muzzle a dog like that? I mean, it's a real worry, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's this real stigma about muzzles, to be honest. People think that muzzles are just for these big, dangerous breeds, you know, like Rottweilers and Pitbulls and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're actually not dangerous breeds by default, let me just make that clear.
No.
But muzzles, they're a safety feature. You know, it's kind of a safety switch that makes sure that you've got that sort of distance between them. Yeah, muzzling's a good idea. It's very good for helping to sort of train that sort of neutral response as well, because you've got that added safety that they're not actually physically going to bite someone. And you can sort of get a bit closer without having to worry about that as well. So the dog's sort of getting the teachable moment without missing out.
Yeah.
Are they uncomfortable for the dogs?
Not if you get one that's sized properly. Most of these modern muzzles that you can get now are padded. And as long as they've got like pant room, so the dog can open its mouth and pant and stick its tongue out and eat and drink and things like that through it, shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But always get them sized properly from wherever you're getting them.
On this subject, it's not biting's not a problem with Mildred, but we have noticed, and this Grace wanted me to ask this, Mildred has a habit of barking at men in uniform.
Any particular uniform, like police, or is it high-vis, or...
So postmen, high-vis, builders, but also gardeners.
Hates gardeners.
I'm guessing the gardeners are wearing high-vis as well, like when they're doing the jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe it's the high-vis.
Yeah, high-vis does tend to throw dogs off a lot. Their eyes obviously work completely different to ours in terms of like how they receive light and colours and things like that. And high-vis can actually throw them off a little bit because they can't really tell where the light source is coming from. So, I mean, most builders and police officers and postmen tend to be quite big, burly lads as well. So you've got a big silhouette with this high-vis thing glaring in their face as well, and she's just made this negative association with not wanting to be near these people. Obviously builders make lots of noise and banging, gardeners use strimmers, lawnmowers, you name it. So Mildred's gone, oh, these guys create loud noise, and it's that visual impairment as well from the high-vis jacket. So she's just made a negative association with it.
Okay, thank you very much. I won't bother relaying that to Grace. I'll just get Grace to listen to the podcast. So thank you.
She'll only correct you anyway.
Or just say to Grace, I think I've figured out what it is. and then take all the credit and make sure she doesn't hear that podcast. Yeah. It is so interesting because actually quite often, you know, the clues to the answer are there.
Yeah.
And they're sort of actually fairly obvious once you actually look at it and try and see. It's a lot of what you do, Simon. Is it trying to put yourself in the dog's position to some extent?
Yeah, totally.
The expression.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Jack, as well. Like, people like to overcomplicate things as well without just going back to the root cause and go, big person, loud noise. We don't like being around loud noises all the time. You know, we get sensory overload and stuff like that. And now you've got an animal that can smell better than you, hear better than you and all this. And of course, they're going to be overwhelmed as well.
Okay.
Very good. Well, now we have we got a voice note.
We do.
Yes, voice note from Ben McGladdery. Yeah, well, I think this is about recall. Let's have a look.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Jack. This is Ben here in Dubai. I've got a question for Simon. I'd love to know if he's got any advice to help with my dog's recall so that when I call their names, God, I'd love it if they come back. And also, I do have some dog voices for you. I don't have a dog voice for when I talk to the dogs, but the dogs talk back to me.
Hi, my name's Biff. I'm a big black Labrador. I'm a bit dopey and I walk into things. I don't mean to, but it's okay because my mom and dad still say they love me.
Hey, my name's Chip. I'm a little cream pug. I go on walks with my big brother. I love my big brother, but sometimes he's a bit big and he hits me. And it's okay, though. I let it happen.
So that's my dogs and that's my question. Hope you're all well. Love the podcast. Keep it up, guys. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Wow, thanks for that, Ben. That was great. Did he say it was in Dubai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
After those voices, I can understand now why he needs help with recall.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I'd want to go back to that.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Ben. They're great.
Very nice to hear.
Yeah, brilliant question. Thank you, Ben. So with recall, it's all about being more appealing than whatever the dog is going off to sniff. So in most cases, it's things like chasing squirrels, rabbits. Obviously, in Dubai, I think the wildlife's a little bit thinner on that ground. So it's probably something more interesting that the dog's found, like another dog or a toy or something like that. So yeah, it's all about making that association that whatever it is to offer out there, you are far more appealing than that.
Okay.
So work on things like, you know, every time the dog comes back, play with it, give it loads of fuss and attention, and then send it on its way again, just so it knows that coming back to you isn't end of playtime, end of walkies, anything like that. Coming back to you is it gets a quick reward and it gets a chance to go off again and do whatever it wants to do.
Is that usually a treat then?
You can use treats, but things like play is really important as well, because obviously if the dog's running off chasing after something, it's trying to get fulfillment from the play side of things. So I'd probably use play, so its favourite toy or something like that, just to get it back and have a quick play and then send it on its way again.
Right. No, that's great. Well, we hope that answers that for you, Ben. I think it does. That's very helpful. Thank you, Simon.
And thanks for the voices. I thought the Labrador sounded a bit like Paul McCartney, did you?
A touch, yeah.
Put a sort of slight Liverpool accent on it. Did you hear that, Sean?
Well, I got that they were both American, kind of stoner dogs.
Right, okay. I've never heard that as a dog owner, that he's got voices that his dogs speak in, but he doesn't seem to have a dog voice that he uses for them.
I know.
Maybe he should work on that and they might come back more. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the answer. Good one, though. Now we've got a question about puppies. This is from @Shellator. Shelley asks, what are the top three things to do I'm putting you on the spot here because, I mean, I hate lists anyway. But anyway, what are the top three things to do with a new puppy? The essentials to get right. She says, I want to start on a good path with regards to training and instilling good habits with our puppy. We plan to get later this year. So she hasn't actually got the puppy yet. So what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, amazing. You're already doing your research before you get the puppy, which is absolutely vital. Great. I'd say the first most important thing is puppies are never really too young to start training with. Obviously, bringing the puppy home at 8 weeks, ideally, if you can.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, you can start training from the moment the dog comes home. Obviously, at 8 weeks, it's not going to be able to retain too much information, so make training sessions short but sweet. But yeah, you can train a dog as soon as you bring the puppy home. So that's probably number one. Mm. Number two is get a house training lead. So just to get the puppy used to being on the lead when it's older and you're going out on walks, you can buy these really thin, really light sort of like puppy training leads that you can leave on it around the house. Obviously supervise it so it doesn't get tangled around stuff.
Yeah.
But it gets it used to, you know, being pulled along by a lead if it needs to on walks, and it'll probably grow up not to be pulley on the lead as well when it does get a bit bigger and stronger.
Okay.
And then the last one, probably the most important one actually, is let it sleep. So puppies, when you bring them home, well, most dogs really, they need sort of like between 15 and 20 hours sleep a day.
Oh.
That includes overnight as well. So your 8 hours at night as well is included. But try and get sort of between 15 and 20 hours sleep. Helps reduce things like biting, just bad behavior in general, because it's not getting cranky and it's not getting overwhelmed by stuff.
And what age do they grow out of the need for that much sleep, would you say?
I mean, most adult dogs will probably need about 15 hours sleep at least most days anyway.
Really?
Yeah. It's how they process all the information. It's like us. So once it learns a new trick or anything like that, it'll have a sleep and it sort of like sets it into the hard drive of its brain. That's why.
15 hours sleep?
Yeah, including overnight.
What, the average dog? Yeah. Any breed?
Yeah, yeah.
And you said just keep it short and sweet. So what do you say, 5 minute session? Every day or?
Yeah, 5-10 minutes is absolutely fine. I mean, you can pepper them throughout the day, but obviously it's still getting its nap times and things like that through the day as well. But yeah, try not to do anything in too big a chunks. 20 minutes is probably too much.
And what's the first command do you think is useful to teach a puppy?
Sit.
Sit.
Sit is, it's universal. You can use it in any scenario and they get it pretty quick because most puppies do like to sit down because they're a little bit lazy anyway.
Okay.
Well, next up, we got a question from Georgie. Georgie Keeble sent an email. Georgie says, I have a 2.5-year-old toy cockapoo. She's not really food driven unless it's on the floor. How do I stop her picking up food off the street? I've tried bribing her, not bothered. I've tried making a loud noise when she does it, oblivious. Apart from the health implications, I'd love for her to lose her nickname of Trash Panda.
Maybe she asked Grace how she got you to stop, Sean. How did you stop picking food off the floor and eating it? But it's a good question again, because the dogs, when they, I mean, they if they find something, they think, oh, that's nice, I'm having some of that.
Yeah.
So what would you do, Simon?
Yeah, so dogs are scavengers by nature, like you just said then, Jack. You know, they are designed to pick up stuff off the floor. Bribing doesn't tend to work. Making loud noises doesn't really tend to work anyway, because you're just making the dog scared of any sort of like repercussions. Mm-hmm. What I'd say is the best thing for this one is probably teach a leave command. So do this at home. You don't do this outside just yet. Get a treat and teach patience. So get the dog into a sit, hold the treat in your hand, place it onto the floor very slowly and very gently, use a wait command or leave or whichever word you want to use for it. And then start with sort of like really short, maybe 1 to 2 second increments to so it doesn't get too frustrated. And then gradually build that up over a period of time. And then eventually you get to the point where you can say wait or leave or whatever you've chosen. And then it won't pick stuff up until you give the okay to do it.
Very good.
Very good. I think we had a trainer come round for a short while and we did the leave command, but I don't know if Mildred stuck with that. Grace, can Mildred do leave command thing? Leave, wait.
She can do sit, paw, touch.
Sit, paw, touch.
She can sometimes leave it.
No.
She did leave a dead pigeon the other day.
Okay, she left a dead pigeon. Yeah.
See, the voice you can hear in the background, Simon, is the person who I should be doing this podcast with. It's, now he's more about Mildred than Sean.
Yes. So he also told me to... I actually, sorry, Simon, I do have to just quickly tell Jack this, otherwise I'll get in trouble. Mm. I have to come clean that I've previously said to Jack that we wash Mildred, and I had to do it on my own for the first time recently. Mm. In fact, it's Grace washes Mildred, and I had to do it on my own for the first time.
Okay, so... Were you just exaggerating last time? You were trying to make out that you were...
I've done that thing, which is a bit of a habit. I think it's a habit of most people, where I have once done something, I have changed that to I do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's called lying. Yeah, it's not that complicated. That's what that is.
Okay, this podcast is becoming increasingly difficult to do with the person who listens to it living in this building.
It's just as well she is listening, because she seems to know more about the dog than you do. But anyway, yeah. It's a good answer.
Yes,
another one here. Asa Bright has written in saying, "My cavachon," which I think must be a cavalier Bichon or something like that. Yeah. "My cavachon is terrible for begging for food." A bit similar to the last question. Yeah. "I must admit, I probably don't help, as I do give him treats just to keep the peace at the dinner table.
Yeah.
How can I reverse this behavior? Thank you for my new favorite podcast. Absolutely love Monday mornings now." Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Asa.
Yeah, lovely.
All right. So I think Asa is saying that, you know, the mistake has already been made, i.e. giving treats at dinner, and would like to know if there's a way of reversing that.
They answered kind of half of the question themselves there. Like, feeding the dog is just going to exacerbate the thing, because basically the dog's learnt that it can get away with it once, it's going to keep getting away with it, and it's going to keep sort of pushing those boundaries. As the damage is already done, again, a leave command is a really good one to do. Also, get used to feeding the dog in a different room. So if the dog bowl is sort of in the dining room where you're eating,
that's a good idea.
Feed the dog in a different room, and then it doesn't associate that location with getting food.
If it makes you feel any better, Asa, Jane and I have made a similar mistake with Dolly, our Chihuahua. And what that is it's just the most middle class thing to have done. But we've got into the habit of having a little bit of cheese after our dinner, and usually when we're watching telly, and now we don't want to do it because we're on a diet and so on and so forth. But Dolly won't let it go. She says, no, you get the cheese out. This is when we get the cheese out. And she'll literally stand there and just stare at us while we're trying to watch telly, which is quite unnerving. So, and what she'll do, she'll make sure she's in, especially Jane's eye line, because she knows that Jane's the softy. So she says, I'll work on her. And she'll actually be outside in the hall, looking into the TV room, but knowing that she'll catch Jane's eye. And Jane says, "I can't keep watching telly because Dolly is staring at me from about 30 feet away, but I can't." Is there any hope, Simon? Is it too late? She's, as we've discussed before, she's quite an elderly dog. And she,
I mean, if you guys are happy with it, I don't see the problem. When Dolly, she's 14, isn't she, Jack? So
yeah, she is.
Let her enjoy her sort of like elder statesman sort of time.
Cheese board.
Yeah.
That's fine. Red wine as well. Yeah. She has a glass of red.
Yeah. Glass of port.
Maybe not the red wine.
Yeah.
Give me a tannin.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
So I've got an interesting one here. This is from Rachel in Bridport. She says, I give my dog, Bren, the greyhound, the same food every day. It's a dry kibble and he eats it with the same amount of enthusiasm every day, whereas my last dog was really picky with her food and was a nightmare to feed. Do dogs mind having the same thing every day, or should I be switching it around every now and then to stop him from getting bored?
That's such an interesting question, yeah. What do you think, Simon?
So I'd say keep feeding him the same thing. If he still loves it, okay. If his other ends and leavings are absolutely fine, yeah, keep him on the same food. He's not really going to get bored of it. Interesting fact for you with dogs. So with, you know, all these brands that say like super tasty meats and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
Dogs don't prioritize taste when it comes to food. It's always smell first.
Oh.
Yeah. So it literally could be any food. As long as it smells appealing to the dog, they'll always prioritize smell over taste. Taste is actually one of the last things that they'll sort of consider. They'll smell it first. They'll look at it. They'll see how it feels in the mouth. So if it's crunchy or if it's soft or anything like that. And then taste is like right at the back end.
I didn't know that.
No.
Going back to Dolly, she seems to sort of have a taste for human food. She much prefers that. And she is a picky eater. And it's not because she's constantly being fed treats by us at all. But she is a dog. I mean, because she's a chihuahua, doesn't need a huge amount of food, obviously. But she won't have a full meal. Perhaps every 2 or 3 days, she might finish what we put down for her.
Yeah.
Is that normal, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, she's only a small dog, so she's not going to need as many calories as a Rottweiler or a Doberman, for example. But she's probably just made that positive association with having the better foods, in her opinion. She's probably seen, like, somewhere down the line, it's made you super happy that you've given her some cheese. And she's gone, oh, well, when I get this specific food, I have a better time when I'm having it. Dogs are very emotive when it comes to stuff like that as well.
So do you not buy into, remember me and Jack were talking about these pouches of food that I think are the kind of the posher dog foods that I think they had a phrase, it was something like human ready or something like that. Is that just kind of branding and marketing?
Yeah, it's 100% marketing. Like I said, taste for dogs is so far back on the priority list. It's for the humans who've got the wallets, not for the dogs who are going to go and use the self-service tools. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right. Does it make sense, going back to the question we had about the puppy, does it make sense to get your dog used to something fairly kind of economical, something cheap if possible? Because it gets expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if they like camembert.
Having to go down the deli every day.
Yeah, I mean, it might save on the purse strings a little bit. When it comes to food, you know, you want to give the best to your dog, like you would with your kids. You know, you want to give them the most nutritious, fulfilling food. It's obviously not always the most economical in price and storage. Yeah. You know, raw food is absolutely phenomenal for dogs. It can help with lots of behavioral issues and health issues and things like that. But you need freezer space. It's super expensive. Some people get a bit squeamish with handling raw foods and things like that. So you've kind of got to work within what your limitations are on budget and storage and obviously health, like always prioritize as best as you can afford.
And quite a lot of these foods are marketed, I noticed, they're for, you know, especially for puppies or especially for senior dogs, especially for small dogs. Is that really, does it make sense? Is there a difference
with the age sort of brackets on food and stuff like that? They'll have different vitamins and minerals and stuff in, so like when dogs are older, there'll be more like joint support sort of supplements and things like that in there. When puppies are younger, it'd be like digestive aids, because obviously they've transitioned from mother's milk straight to sort of like solid food and stuff like that. There is some element of truth in it, but I'd always make sure you're reading the label, make sure you're sort of doing your own research when it comes to like, is it just the marketing or is it their actual differences in the ingredients on the back of packets and stuff?
No, that's very helpful. Thank you. Now we've got another voice note, this time from Becky in Cromarsh in Oxfordshire. She's left us a voice note about her dog Flora. Over to you, Becky.
I have a Sprocker Spaniel who is 7 now, and for the first 4 years of her life, never had anxiety, not that I can remember, but in 2020, so the fireworks suddenly become absolutely petrified to the point where she looks like she's going to have a heart attack, and now that's every fireworks evening. And I don't know whether it's because obviously that was a weird year and we was all home all the time, or whether it's because all the firework displays were cancelled, more people were just doing them in their garden, and whether that triggered something because they were closer, or and also any funny noises out on walks. She's walking beside me and won't run off. Yeah, so just wondering if there was anything we could do to help her or ease it, or whether that's just the way she is now.
We don't have that problem with Mildred, but Gertrude, my old family pet, she was extremely, yeah, frightened on firework day. And it was a huge problem. And it actually made me one of those people that didn't like fireworks, but because of it, because just seeing your dog that scared is horrible.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great question.
Fear of fireworks is so common with dogs. It's a big, loud noise that they just wouldn't naturally sort of experience. Yeah, it's interesting that it was in 2020. Lots of dogs really suffered with socialization and stuff through lockdowns, because obviously we couldn't go out. So they weren't exposed to this sort of drip feed of different noises and sounds and experiences. So that could be one sort of aspect of it. But yeah, like I said, the fear of fireworks is so common in dogs. The best way to do it is very similar to the previous question about being scared of men or having a reaction to men. So it's a course of desensitization and sort of like acclimatization and habituation for all these sort of noises. So the best thing to do with fireworks is go on YouTube if you've got a smart TV or a phone or whatever. Play a firework display video at very, 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 very small volume, like almost inaudible. The dog will hear it.
This is great.
If the dog doesn't react and it's quite calm, give it a little treat, give it a little bit of affection, give it a bit of love, and then leave it at that. And then the next time you do it, have the volume a little bit louder, play the same video. Again, if there's no reaction, give it a little treat, a little bit of affection, and gradually over time, build the volume on that video until you're able to play the TV full volume, firework displays booming everywhere, and the dog shouldn't have a reaction because it's got used to these little baby steps of getting used to it. I will point out, if you are doing this method, if the dog does show any sort of reaction as you're increasing the volume, go back a step. You know, don't be afraid to sort of like take two steps forward, one step back if you need to, because it's all about patience.
Yeah.
Sort of like helping that dog get used to it over time.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yes. Brilliant advice.
I'd never thought of that. I think that's such a great idea. So, Becky, get Flora in front of the telly and very, very low volume. Just gradually perhaps get her used to the idea. And see if that works. You've got plenty of time before November.
Start doing it now.
And see if that makes a difference this year. We've got time for one more, do you think?
Oh, we could do one more. Well, we could end on Melanie in Cheshire. This is about barking. Melanie says she has a Loki, the cockapoo, and she asks, what's the best way to tackle lunging and barking at traffic?
Ooh, okay. So again, this is another course of desensitization with this one. The dog thinks that the cars and things going past are some sort of prey or animal moving past. Obviously, dogs don't understand the concept of cars.
Okay.
So yeah, start a very safe distance away from traffic. Again, rewarding.
Sorry, Simon. Sorry to interrupt, but me and Jack have spoken about this in the past. I've always wondered, Mildred, she won't know that I'm driving the car, will she?
No.
She won't understand that I'm the person that's controlling the car.
No, not at all. It's like lifts. Lifts are a great example. Like for dogs, they go into this little box room, the door shuts, the door opens, and they're somewhere totally different. They don't get the concept of going up and down. You know, they don't have physics and engineering degrees. They have no idea of like
how human. Well, I've learned something today.
Yeah, that's how they work, Sean. Yeah. On a lighter note, I slightly admire a dog who tries to start a fight with a lorry or something, don't you? Come on, I'll have you. But no, I mean, a serious problem as well, and potentially quite dangerous, actually. So, again, it's acclimatization thing. Yeah. It would be great to know when people are listening if they've tried any of these things, by the way. So if you've tried any of these remedies that Simon's put forward, do let us know how that went for you, because that would be great to get some feedback and we can keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. And that doesn't just have to be the people that ask the question. If you're listening and you also had difficulties with some of the things brought up today, then let us know. Let us know if Simon helped you. That'd be great. Don't let us know if it didn't. We don't need to know that.
We'll hand him a resignation if they don't.
I think we want to hear all of it.
No, do let us know, yeah.
Yeah, we had so many questions, and I wish we had time to get through more of them.
We'll do it again, won't we, Simon?
Yeah, absolutely. Or more than happy to help.
And Simon, just quickly, again, you're based in Manchester?
Yes. Yeah, I am based in Manchester, but I am willing to travel.
And how do we find you, Simon?
You can find me on Instagram at dognative.behaviour. And my website is dbtherapy.co.uk.
Brilliant.
And Sean, I think, pronounced your name incorrectly at the beginning, yeah. But I'll put that right.
He also called Leia Leah, but...
Oh, no. That's the end of that then. Simon Parry Moreno, thank you very much for all that brilliant advice. I'm sure everyone else will want to thank you as well.
Yes.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Very interesting.
Wasn't that great? What was your favourite bit of advice you took away from that?
I think the piece of advice that will stay with me is the fireworks. And and we've been lucky with Mildred thus far. But like was explained, like that was explained in the voice notes.
Do you want another go at that grammar? Third time lucky.
Hang on.
As was explained.
As explained.
Yeah, that'll do.
Jesus Christ. Keep this in.
I was only joking.
As explained.
Yeah.
In one of the messages that we got, that it can just turn and your dog can suddenly be scared of fireworks. So if that does happen to Mildred, I will try that.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great, or even just preempt it. Yeah, I suppose it's no point doing that if you don't know it's a problem.
What about Dolly? Is Dolly afraid of?
Dolly, she gets quite anxious about it. She'll by then, of course, she's usually on the sofa with us, enjoying some cheese.
Yes. Yeah, Pinot Noir.
Yeah. But so there's a lot of reassurance goes on. But because we're obviously like you, we're in town, so they're all around. I mean, I hate fireworks anyway. I don't.
That's shocking. I can't believe that.
No, I know I'm an otherwise fun loving guy, but I like that people are enjoying themselves. But it's, I just think, oh, really? I even hate the organized ones, you know. You know. The really clever ones. I hate them.
Yes.
I do. I just think, oh, so what? Why not just play a video of the one they did 6 years ago instead of doing it all again every year? I just, you know, anyway, that's way off subject there. My thing that I learned from that, which I didn't realise, that dogs like to have so much sleep and that they really need it. It's great.
Yes, I'm not sure. Does Dolly sleep that much?
I'm sure she does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
15 hours.
But I always put it down to her being quite old by now. But I mean, he did say that's obviously including during the night. But it's nice to know there's a species out there that needs more sleep than we do. You know.
Yes. I'm just not sure. I just don't get the feeling that Mildred does sleep 15 hours a day. Grace, how long would you say Mildred sleeps a day? All in all?
12 hours.
Okay, 12 hours.
12 hours, right. Well, maybe Mildred needs a bit more. Maybe sort of give a bit more opportunity to sleep.
Yeah.
And probably when you're not in, does she just sleep? Do you get the impression she just sleeps? Have you any idea?
I think so. Do you know what? We actually... she doesn't spend much time on her own, Mildred.
Good. But that's good.
But 12, yeah, I mean, again, that's, oh no, 12. Yeah, anyway, yes. Yeah, I can see now.
I really enjoyed getting some of that information from Simon.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And we'll get him on again, as we said.
Well, thanks for listening to Oh My Dog. We hope you've enjoyed it as well, with us answering your questions today. I use the word us lightly. I think we know who we mean.
Well, it's almost like we're starting to know what we're talking about now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. It's we're certainly learning a lot, aren't we?
Yes. Now, we love your input into the show, so keep emailing us at hello@omdpod.com and find us on Instagram at omdpod and keep sending us your voice notes.
Yes, we love your voice notes. And remember, a dog is for life, not just for podcasts.